that address me as Bishop Townsend. Amen. Now, I done met some Judases that'll do that. Amen. But honestly, I'm talking about incarnate spirits. Amen. Ain't never addressed me as Bishop Townsend. Amen. Because they don't recognize no title behind my name. As a matter of fact, I tell people all the time, I'm your brother. I don't care what title you got. You are my sister. You are my brother. It does not matter. I think that's another thing we got to get up out of this title and get up out of ourselves. Amen. And we'll start seeing more anointing. We'll start seeing more breakthroughs. We'll start seeing more power of God. I mean, look here. You ain't even got to call me pastor. Just don't get disrespectful and start calling folks by their name. Just before you call me by my name, just call me sir. Well, sir. Well, sir. Or ma'am, or this, that, and the other, because these titles is just running a lot of folks crazy. Amen. Can I be honest with you? Bishop Kenny Townsend is not on my birth certificate. It's not on there. Kenny Townsend is on there. Amen. And for those of you that want to just put a title on me, I'm your brother. That angel is your spiritual guide to help you. And even when John was on the Isle of Patmos and he fell down to worship the angel said, see that you don't do it, for I am thy fellow servant. Think about that. An angel that's mighty in glory and power told the man of God, I'm your servant. Hey, y'all, we got to go. In Jesus' name. We know the broadcast has been a blessing to you, and since it has, feel free to contact us at P.O. Box 3371, Pineville, Louisiana, 71361. Or feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Good morning. God bless you all, my Christian friends. This is the Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church out of Cotton Court, Louisiana, under the leadership of Pastor Chris Augustine Sr. We are pleased to be a part of this radio ministry. Please join the service already in progress.
Will change.
People spoke and prayed to Baal. Baal, help us. Baal, help us. A half a morning.
That's right.
They prayed to a God that could not hear them. One great design, therefore, of the Christianity, is to assist us in prayer, to enforce the duty upon us, to instruct us in it, and encourage us to expect advantage by using it. Prayer is a necessary commodity for the church. It is for the child of God. And I think we're all children of God, even those that are in the streets, in the world. God made them too. And it is necessary for them to contact God in prayer in order for them to get in contact with Him in the beginning. All of us in here was in the streets one time in the world. And it was necessary for us to contact God. For Him to come to our rescue. So let's not think that the church members pray. There's a lot of people outside that prays too. But they don't follow up with their prayer. Prayer opens a line of communication between man and God. The bridge of communication was out for over 400 years. Man's attitude went sour against God, or toward God. And it was necessary to reach God, but our lives had been disconnected.
Yes.
Sin disconnected our lives to God. But we find Christ Himself here in the Scriptures praying in a certain place.
here has taken particular notice of Christ Brand Austin more than any of the other preachers or evangelists of his time. When he was baptized, he was praying. When he withdrew himself into the wilderness, he was praying out there. When he went up into a mountain, he went there to pray and continued all night in prayer. He was alone praying to his Father. Soon he would go up into the mountain and be transfigurated as he prayed in a certain place. I think all of us ought to have a certain place that we should go and pray at. Place that we can get along by ourselves any time of the day and pray to God. It's possible to pray in the schoolhouse, in the hospital, anywhere that you find yourself at, it's possible to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. You don't have to open your mouth to pray to God. You can stay right where you're at and just in your mind say, Lord, have mercy. He knows what your problems are. Even before you ask him, he knows. But we ought to have a certain place in our home, in our yard, certain highway that we can ride and pray. We come here, we pray at church. I don't know how many people on a Sunday that come here and actually pray. How many actually say a prayer when you come in here? How many actually pray for somebody else? How many just come and sit down and, you know, and let's go with the service and that? You ought to be praying for your mom and your dad, your sisters and your brothers and your friends and your nephews, everybody in the church. You know, see somebody here that don't look well, you ought to pray for them. Say a little prayer for them. Lord help them. Lord help her. See somebody in here not doing as well as you are. Pray for them. Prayer is necessary. Think of it is, you're not going to get any more back than you give out. So we all should have a reserved place for prayer. Somebody like to go in the closet and pray. Somebody like to go behind the house, corner of the yard, by the tree. It seems as though that there are some places that God just meet you there to hear your requests. Some place special. God meet us where we can talk to him. He hear our most solemn requests. Some remote corner where prayers can be heard and mercy can be found. I admit that you can pray anywhere, but there are some places more comfortable. When you go off to yourself, where there is no distraction, nothing else to make you turn your attention to. Somewhere where just you and God can talk to one another. And when you pray, pray in Jesus' name. And Jesus said this morning in the Sunday school, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. He'll do it for you. So he granted all the prayers in the name of Jesus that is in his will. That's another thing we got to understand too. What is the will of God for our lives in order for us to pray? A lot of us pray for materialistic things and clothing, cars and homes and all these things, but the word of God
God is necessary for us to understand and to know that seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things shall be added unto us. And I wonder, you know, some people, they go back about it backwards, because I believe that when we get into God's word and we understand his word and we hear his word and our faith increases, and then we get locked down in his word and rooted in his word, then I believe that we'll understand how to use the things that God allows us to be stewards of. That's why it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because sometimes when we are blessed with things, we don't know how to act right with them. We misuse and abuse them. We pass people up on the highway in the rain because we've been blessed to have a great automobile, but we're not using it right. We came to church and hear the word of God, know what God feeling God for us, for one another, then we say we use our car, we use our home, we use our clothes, everything we have, we use it to the glory of God. Because you really don't own it, you're just a stewardship of it. And God is going to judge us how we use the things that we have with one another. I think we should pray. I think we should apply prayer to our lives. Not every day, but every so often in the day. Every so often in the day. I know a lot of times I'm driving down the road. Like the other day I met a car. If I wouldn't have been aware of the fact, I'd have been ahead of collision. He's crossed the line in a curve. I just got on the side of the road. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, because it was nobody but you that had me aware. I could have been looking away. It's just that easy, people. You hear 1 minute, next minute you can be gone. But prayer changes things. I think we should all pray. Education should not remove prayer from us. They shouldn't remove it from the school either. No, anything else should remove prayer from us. You should not be ashamed to pray. If you shame the whole God before me, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed to hold you before the Father, which is in heaven. There is no crime for us to pray. You don't have to use all these elegant words. If you just use the mouth prayer, you're doing good. People, I think, sometimes go too far out anyhow. The things that are of lesser value, of no importance to God. God knows what we need. Not only do you pray, and you wonder sometimes when people never pray, but they still receive from God. It's because our spirits and our body make utterance. It knows what we need. And it makes utterance to God for us on our behalf. Because a lot of us don't say nothing to God. We don't call God's name unless we stomp our toe. And then you mix the wrong thing with that when you call the name then. Amen. In this certain place of tranquility where Jesus was praying, his disciples applied themselves to him for direction in prayer. When he was praying, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. For those of us that want to learn how to pray, we have to be taught just like his disciples. It was necessary for Christ's disciples to request to be taught how to pray, because they walked